I may only be able to just share a few things with you this morning, and we'll pick it up again in the will of God next week. But I want to continue with this special study on the Holy Spirit. We're a Pentecostal church. And the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he's the Spirit of truth. So let me share some things with you that the Lord has laid on my heart. And I believe they're for you and they will bless you. And I hope you'll pass them on to others. The Holy Spirit. Let me begin by saying this. The Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. And there's four things that I want to say today, next week, week after maybe. I want to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the promise of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk about the passion of the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit passionate about? And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, what do you become passionate about? Those are some of the things we'll look at. First of all, the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third member of the Trinity. He is a member of the Godhead. He is the Spirit of God. John 14:17, Jesus is speaking to the disciples and he said, even the Spirit of truth, he's referring to the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of truth. Notice the Spirit of truth. I don't know about you, but I have a problem with people who profess to be filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, and then they talk a load of rubbish. Do you ever wonder about that? Because if we're speaking as led by, motivated by the Holy Spirit, he's the Spirit of truth. Amen? Amen. He will not speak gibberish. You know, he'll not speak lies.
Oh, I don't believe in the virgin birth.
You don't? Then you're lost. I mustn't get on my high horse this morning, if you know what I mean. But you know, it's amazing to think, oh, I'm filled with the Spirit. I speak in tongues. Yeah?
And you speak that rubbish. How come? He's the Spirit of truth. Amen. The Spirit of truth.
He's a person. Even the Spirit of truth, said Jesus, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Speaking of Pentecost. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Notice, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Let me encourage you. That applies to when you and I are witnessing. A lot of people are afraid of witnessing, afraid of sharing their faith. Oh, don't ask me to say anything. Oh, why not?
Well, I don't know what to say.
That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And everybody said, you open your mouth and God says, open your mouth wide and he will do what?
Fill it.
Honestly. So you have an opportunity to witness to someone on the bus, on the train, at work. Go for it in Jesus' name. Begin with whatever's in your mind and your heart and your mouth and God will help you. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance the things you need. Amen. I've been amazed at myself often. I thought, where did that come from? I shouldn't have wondered. It came from him. So I encourage you. Don't be intimidated. Don't be fearful. Don't be frozen at the mouth. We are God's chosen people, not God's frozen people. That was worth a hallelujah or something. I worked hard on that. But the Comforter, one called alongside to help, one just like Jesus, the Paracletus, just like Jesus, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 16:7. John 16:7. Nevertheless, said Jesus, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall speak of himself. He shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will glorify me. When people profess to be filled with the Spirit, anointed with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, whatever they call it, what comes out of here will glorify Jesus. If it doesn't, they've got the wrong spirit. He will show you things to come. He will glorify me. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Secondly and quickly, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 4. Familiar words to many of you. Acts 1 4. Dr. Luke says, being assembled together with them. That's Jesus with the disciples. Jesus commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for what? Wait for who? Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized. You'll be drenched, you'll be soaked, you'll be immersed. You will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit. You will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter has to explain to the crowd what's happening. They think the disciples who come out of the upper room are drunk. He said, no, we're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, I'll tell you what's happening here. He said, this is that. And I've said it, I think, from the first day I began preaching way back in 1963. If what you have is not that, in other words, what the Bible teaches, if what you have is not what the Holy Spirit teaches, if what you have is not that which the prophet Joel spoke about, you've not got anything good. This is that. This is that, said Peter. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. We sang that this morning, didn't we? An impromptu song. Somebody started up as the prophet said it would be. You with me? Is anybody here? This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17. It shall come to pass. I'm in Acts 2:16. It shall come to pass. I'm in Acts 2:17. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Bring it on, Lord, in Wellspring. Verse 38. They said, what are we to do? Peter said, I'll tell you what to do. Repent. Change your mind. Change your heart. Change your direction. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Notice, and you shall receive the promise of the Spirit. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, for the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. Thirdly and quickly, the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8, you know it off by heart. Jesus said, you shall receive power. And you know what the word power is? It's the word dynamite. Now there's several Irish people here this morning, so you better watch your back. I'm joking. But Ireland has a history, as you know. Well, thank God, God is moving there. When we go to Northern Ireland, we go to Belfast and we go to Whitewell Metropolitan Tabernacle, a church of about 2,000 people. Hallelujah. And there are other churches where God is doing great things. Praise the Lord. So the enemy has not had his way in Ireland. God is on the throne. God is in control. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But the word is dynamite. Next time you get a chance to look in the mirror, have a look at yourself. And then ask yourself this question. Am I dynamite? You know the opposite of dynamite, don't you? It's a damn squib, isn't it? Yeah? There's a lot of Christians, and bless their hearts, they're more like damn squibs, aren't they? Oh, you can't expect a lot at my age. Hello, brother, how are you? Hello, sister, how are you this morning? I know we get problems, all of us. But there must come a breakthrough, mustn't there? There must be a day when we have a breakthrough, wouldn't you agree? There must be one morning when we say, yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and I'll be glad in it. Good morning, how are you? So, don't forget, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Dynamite? Yes. Or, damn squib. I hope you see dynamite. Jesus said you'll receive power when? After. You want power, you want life, you want joy, you want peace. You want to be able to walk with your head up high, your shoulders back, be able to witness, be able to speak to people. When it's time to sing, you sing. When it's time to speak in tongues, you speak in tongues. When it's time to pray with somebody who has a need, you pray for them. You don't say, oh, help, where's the pastor? No, you are the pastor. When there's a need, it does not say dial J-E-S-U-S for Jesus. You are his representative. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, greater things than these shall you do. Because I'm going to the Father. When I go to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to come inside you, live in you. And the same power that's going to raise me from the dead will live in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's where I get the dynamite from. You got resurrection life in you. Resurrection power in you. Hallelujah. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God and give the devil a hard time. Submit to God, resist the devil, and the devil will be the one to do the running. That's what the Bible says. Oh, I feel so tired. They that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as turkeys, wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen? Amen. The Lord is the strength of my life. Misery is my strength. No, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That's what keeps me going. As thy days, so thy strength shall be. Oh, I'm worried about the future. I'm getting older now. So what? As your days, so your strength will be. Because you're in the house of God, you will flourish. You'll still bear fruit in old age. Hallelujah. That's where I live. Want to join me? You're already there. God bless you. The Holy Ghost will come on you. Dynamite. No more damn squibs. We'll put that on Facebook, Brian, I think. No damn squibs at Wellspring. Only dynamite. An explosive church. God, Jesus said, you'll be witnesses to me in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts 1 verse 14, the Bible says the disciples were in the upper room. They'd been there about 8 days. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Hallelujah. Mary, the mother of Jesus was a Pentecostal. Glory to God. I thought that was worthy of a yes, praise the Lord, or something, but never mind. Verse 15 says, the number of names together was about 120. Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, here comes dynamite. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, unity. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, hallelujah, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Lord, do it again in Wellspring, please. filled all the house where they're sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. And it sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues. They began to speak in languages they had never learned. And they did that as the Spirit gave them utterance. Many of you, if not all of you, will be familiar with the story of Samson. A he-man with a she problem. He was very strong. In strength, he was like a Mr. Atlas, Mr. Universe. He could do amazing things when the Spirit of God came on him. But he had a problem with women. He would go with a prostitute. He would see a woman and he'd think, whoa, she looks all right. Dad, get her for me. Oh, no, no, you can do better than that, son. Get her for me. You read the story. Judges 16. He loved a woman who was a Philistine. That was a bad move. He loved a Philistine woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Uh-oh. And the lords of the Philistines came to her and said, Delilah, now that you're married to Samson, will you help us? They offered her money. And they said, will you entice him and find out what's the secret of his great strength? Find out in what his great strength lies and by what means we might overpower him, that we may bind him to subdue him. And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. Verse 6. And Delilah said to Samson, Samson, baby, would you tell me, I pray you, what's the secret of your strength? How might you be bound and subdued? And for want of a better term, he just led her along. He played the fool for a while. Judges 16:7, Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh, strong gut strings, still moist, then shall I be weak and I'll be like other men. Underline that. I shall be weak and be like other men. So she had him bound and he just said, Verse 11, she asked him again, what's the secret of your strength? He said, if they bind me fast with new ropes that have never been used, I should become weak and be like other men. They bound him and he just went. And there was another time too when he pretended that if they did certain things that would just take away all his strength. Verse 16. When she pressed him day after day with her words, and urged him, he was vexed to death. Verse 17, then he told her all his mind. And he said to her, a razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my birth. If I am shaved, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like other men. Let's stop there for a little minute. Samson had long hair. Now his long hair was not what made him strong. What made him strong was his relationship with God. Amen. From a child he had had this Nazarite vow. Dedicated, separated to God and his service. So what made Samson strong was not his hair, it was his relationship with God from a child, a Nazarite. His long hair was an outward sign of an inward separation to God, an inward commitment, an inward dedication, an inward devotion. If his hair were cut off, the Nazarite vow would be broken and he would be powerless. He would become weak and be like other men. So Samson shared all his heart. And you know there's a verse in the Bible that says you shouldn't share all your heart. Some people are too ready just to open up and let it all come out. There's some things you do not share. You find it. It's the Old Testament. If you have difficulty, I'll find it for you. But it says, don't share all your heart. He did. He did. And that was a big mistake. And he shared about what was one of the most precious things in his lives. He shared it with the enemy. Because she might have been his wife, but she was an enemy. In league with the enemy too. So, Samson fell asleep. And she had them come with scissors, cut his hair. He woke up and he said, Kumina Tata. He woke up and said, no problem. I shall go out and shake myself as at other times. Wrong, Samson. I think this is one of the saddest passages in the Bible. This mighty man, this amazing man, this judge of Israel, judged it for 20 years. It's such a sad moment. He gets up. He doesn't realize. Bible says he wist not, King James. He wist not. He didn't realize that the Spirit of God had lifted from his life. And without the Spirit of God, he was powerless. He woke from his sleep. He said, I'll go out as at other times before and I'll shake myself. But he did not realize the Lord was departed from him. Friend, let me show you this. Without the power of God, without the power of the Spirit of God in his life, Samson was easily overpowered by the enemy. The Bible says they bound him with bronze fetters. They blinded him by gouging out his eyes. It's horrible. They forced him to pull a heavy millstone round and round in the prison. And finally, in a drunken orgy, they called him to perform for them as they sacrificed to their false gods. Poor Samson became a powerless performer. You know what I saw as I was preparing for this message? I thought about that story of Samson and his awful defeat. Oh, thank God. The story doesn't end there because it says, the Bible says, his hair began to grow. So watch out, enemy. Because with the hair growing again, the Nazarite vow is coming back. He's getting back to where he was with God and he says, oh God, remember me just this once. If you don't know the story, I encourage you to read it. Remember, he's lost his eyes. But there's a little lad. Don't know his name. But there's a little lad comes and says, here, I'll help you. And he guides him. And Samson says, take me. There's two pillars. I want you to place me in the middle of the pillars. Okay, son? And the little boy led him. And Samson feels this pillar and that pillar. And God has heard and answered his prayer and sent his spirit into him afresh. And Samson pushes and pushes. And down comes the building. And Samson says he slew more people in his death than he did throughout his life. Hallelujah. So it didn't end in defeat. It ended in a mighty victory. But as I thought about Samson, I thought, isn't that just a picture of so many people who profess to be Christians? Powerless. Powerless performers. There's many of them in pulpits, I'm sad to say. Ranting and raving and spitting and fuming. Wiping the brow with the tablecloth. Even have someone doing it for them. God's done this. God's told me, give £1,000. Yeah. I need a bigger boat, a bigger plane. My wife needs a new dress. Many are powerless. Oh, they've got lots of power. The amplifier's turned up. Almost deafening. But real power that changes lives, it's not there. The music is up. It's so loud, deaf people think they've got their hearing back. But people are not really getting saved. Really getting healed. Powerless performers. I never want to be a powerless performer. Never ever. And you know something? Until a child of God totally surrenders their life to the Holy Spirit, they will remain powerless performers. There's a verse in the Bible, and I'm sure your mind is already there. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. The Apostle Paul's talking about those who deny the power of God, those who are into religion only and not relationship. He said, they have a form of godliness, but what? They deny the power thereof. I need to finish in about a couple of minutes. Don't time me. Somebody timed me last week. They said, Pastor, you said 5 minutes and you took 12. I shall take away your watches in future and your mobiles. I will devise a system that will make them go backwards. No, I'm just joking with you because I love you. I'll tell you who it was too. It was Phil. Big Phil. You said 5 minutes. I timed you. You took 12. Did I? Really? Remember one Sunday I said, I've never been bored. Never ever. I can't understand people saying I'm bored. What did he do on Facebook? I'm bored, I'm bored. I'm even more bored now. Yes, Phil, we're talking about you if you listen to this. But here's what the Lord showed me, what the Lord reminded me. You know it. John 15, verse 5. Do you know what it says? Jesus is talking to the disciples. It's the passage where he says, look, I'm the true vine, you're the branches. And then he said something ever so important. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Thank you. We had the Italian version then. Thank you. Without me, you can do nothing. Hold on to that. Oh, there's lots of activity. I mean, people are saying, oh, Wellspring, you're in a little church, you're doing this and doing that, and you're so busy. Yes, we are. I believe we're doing it gifted by and enabled by and strengthened by the Spirit of God. And therefore it will last, and we are building something that will last. Jesus talked about fruit that remains. In the time that I'm with you on my watch, God being my helper, I'm going to build into this church something that will last long beyond me, long beyond you, in Jesus' name. But Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And as I thought about that, I believe I could hear the Holy Spirit saying, tell the people of God, without me, you can do nothing. Oh, you can sing, you can preach, you can shout, you can bawl, you can scream, you can perspire, you can dance, you can clap, you can woo. You can do it all. But if it's without him, it's just bubble and froth. And people will come out and they're mopping themselves. They're all hot. And the first little problem that comes along, it smacks them right in the face and knocks them over. You know it's true, don't you? You see, I believe what the Bible talks about, this dynamite, this power, it's not something that somehow you have in church, and then the minute you get outside, in church you were happy, you were praising the Lord, it was great. You get outside, hello. No, it lasts. When you go to work in the morning and things are not as they ought to be, it lasts, it's there. When your child is sick, the power is there. When there's a financial need, the power is there. When somebody you meet has a need, the power is there. Let me pray for you. Amen. That's what I mean. Not something you switch on and off. Paul said, and I need to finish, Paul said, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Live in that atmosphere and in that experience of being filled. How do I do that? I just let the Holy Spirit have his way. I let the Holy Spirit have access. The Bible says, your body is what? I'm getting it in numerous languages then. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the temple of God. We talk about from the crown of the head to the soles of the feet. That should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Write out your fingertips. Seriously. May God help us. May God so fill us and keep us full of his Spirit. That when you touch people, they almost go, boom. Honestly, I'm not playing. Because you have power in you. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, nothing better. Doctors suffered terribly at the hands of the doctors. Somebody told her about Jesus, thank God. She came and she said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment. And she went against the law and against culture because she was unclean. She had a hemorrhage. She should not have been in public, but she went in public. And she reached down, knelt down, touched the hem of his garment. And the minute she did, the Bible says, virtue flowed from him into her. And Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched you? There's a crowd round you. Ah, but somebody touched me in faith. That's the difference, isn't it? I need to finish. But I pray that will be so. God will so fill you and keep you full that you will be dynamite wherever you go. Go to work in the morning. Hello, how are you? I'm fine, praise the Lord. I had a great weekend. Fantastic worship yesterday. Fantastic, whatever. Not, How was your journey? Forget it. Amen? We're dynamite. There are no damn squibs in Wellspring. Hallelujah. Bless you. I love you.